Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. I'm David Heimer. Brian Baer grew up in our industry, drafted into it by his father and stepfather. He grew to love the industry and eventually, with his wife, started a residential services company. They enjoyed modest success, but Brian was working too hard, wearing too many hats, and felt like something was missing. He met a remodeler, they became friends, joined forces, and created a new company. They joined ServiceNation Alliance, and with the help of a great coach, Lou Hobaika, they're changing everything to pave the way to become a business empire. They're already growing at an amazing rate, but they're gunning for much, much more. Can friends be 50-50 business partners and aggressively grow a company? How do you merge companies, change the company name, change the branding, change the culture and the marketing all at the same time and not go crazy? Well, you're about to find out. Brian Baer, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
So let's go back to the very beginning. How did you end up getting into our great industry?
Right now, I'm currently 32 years old. And when I was 5 years old, I had my stepfather in New York still and my father in South Florida, both in the home improvement, home services businesses. So I got to see hand in hand from both of them. Two totally different business models. I learned plumbing, HVAC, electrical from my stepfather, and then remodeling from my father in Florida. One was more like a modest one man in a truck at the beginning until it kept going where he started the company, my stepfather, in 1981. And my father started his company in 95, I want to say. Both of them turned their companies into multi-million dollar companies, selling them in the mid-2000s. And then my father ended up moving to Knoxville, Tennessee, and starting a new business. So I grew up around entrepreneurship, especially again in the home service industry. 5 years old, I was dragged around with them, got to get involved with soldering pipe, cleaning boilers, learning sales, marketing, delivering material, literally from the ground up to when my stepfather had a stroke, starting to run his business at early age of 16 years old. So fell in love with it, had some speed bumps along the way. I was like, oh, he raised me. I don't want the business. Decided to walk away for a little bit, go work for my father, learn the marketing and sales end of the business, and just fell back to New York. I was like, I miss New York, and went back there, ended up getting back into a truck and went union at that time. And then my stepdad was getting ready to sell and COVID hit. And obviously it was a great time to sell. And my wife and I were like, you know what? Let's move back down to Knoxville, Tennessee, and let's start our own company from the ground up. And that's really where it started.
Wow. What a great education. You had two men pouring into you and learning two different sides of the industry. What a great education. Most people are not that lucky. And did you always enjoy it as a kid? Was it something you were dragged into, or were you thinking, this is the best thing ever?
So yes and no on that end. The no part was when all my friends in the summer were out all night until midnight playing in the neighborhood, riding bikes, doing all things kids were doing. I was in bed because I had to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning to work. That was the no part. The yes part, one, it taught me the value, one, of money. Two, a skilled trade that I still am involved with and love every single day. And three, it really changed who I was as a person. So I thank him now. When I was younger, I'd be like, oh, this was terrible. Why'd he drag me out of school for this? This guy called out sick. Here I am working when my friends are in school, which my mom was never a fan of, but my stepdad pays the bills. I need him out here. And I really look at it now as a standpoint of I owe it to them for actually allowing me to do that and learn this trade, because I went to technical high school. It was called BOCES in New York, where you got to learn a trade. I'm not that book smart, sit through math, science, social studies. It was hands-on learning. And I go back and talk to those teachers I'm friends with through Facebook and stuff. And they're like, oh, the program shut down for welding. HVAC program shut down. And I'm like, it kills me to hear that, because the life that I get to live off of the trades is unbelievable. And I owe it all to the trades to be able to do that. And learning that as a kid taught me all that from my parents pushing me into this. Not really pushing me into it, but dragging me into it, I say. Where kids, they're going to college, end up in $200,000 in debt with a $15 an hour job. Where here I was at 18 years old making over $100,000 a year.
Cutting those vocational programs, the technical programs in high school is just a tragedy. And our nation desperately needs those jobs and those people. It's so short-sighted to cut those.
It's terrible.
Hopefully they'll come back. They are actually starting to come back in some places. That's the good news. Oh, one other comment on your upbringing. As a parent, I've got to say, I really like this part about you not getting to go out and run around with your friends at night.
They like that too. They knew where I was at all times. It's funny though, because I still joke about it, like how things changed with technology, where my stepdad's like, you want to use the 300 pipe threader machine? Learn how to thread by hand.
Great.
Technology, learn to braze and solder. So you appreciate going the old school way of, you could imagine, from 1981 to 2024 times, how much the industry changed. I appreciate that I got to learn that old school way compared to the new age.
Yeah. Okay. So then flashing forward just a little bit, you moved to Knoxville and you started your company. And so what was the name of the company that you started?
So in 2020, my wife and I'm Brian, my wife is Gabby. We started BNG Home Services, and that was in the midst of COVID, and started that here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
And how did that go?
It was not that I'd say rough. I was more the small minded set. Big mind, but doing, I had to wear 11 hats. I was doing everything. The company culture was terrible. It started with just me and a truck, and it ended up, we had three trucks and like four employees at the time that I went to Nashville to see Service Nation out there in 2023. And again, it was me to blame because I didn't really see the big picture and the cash flow, and it was just do. But we grew it from nothing to $750,000 in a matter of 3 years. I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. I'm making $100,000 a year on my own boss, but in the long run, I was working in the business, not on the business.
So explain the timing of this for me, because you told me that in 2023, you joined Service Nation Alliance. Did you form Constructive Home Solutions after that or before that?
So when I actually went to Service Nation out in Nashville in 2023, I actually didn't end up joining at that time. And I joke with Tom and Jim all the time. I say, you guys didn't push me hard enough to join. And Roy White, who is awesome, he's a member, Service Nation Alliance. He ended up calling me like almost monthly, checking in with me. You ready to join? You ready to join? And I wasn't ready just because it was my own doing. It's one of my biggest regrets. I tell them all the time, but I'd rather be late than never do it. So with that, I started working from 2020. I moved down to Knoxville. I networked. That's how I grew my business. I had no social media marketing, no SEO, none of that. It was all word of mouth, all people to people networking events. And I met my business partner now, Mark, who he moved from Florida to Knoxville in 2020. We both had the same upbringing. We had the same beliefs, same everything. He was more a remodeling contractor doing kitchens and bathroom remodeling. And I did all his plumbing, HVAC, and electrical work for him, our guys and stuff. And we hit it off. We became really good friends. He's 5 years older than me. We both have one child. We both have a wife. Our families moved here for the same reasons. And we worked and we spoke, because when I went home from at the end of the day and I spoke to my wife, she's like, honestly, I don't care. Just bring the money in. I don't know nothing about plumbing and HVAC. So
you do your job and I'll do mine.
Yeah. And that was basically, so I was like, oh, I felt like almost like locked in, like, who can I talk to? So Mark, I just rambled one day. I love to talk. So I started talking to him. He's like, oh my God, I'm in the same boat as you. My wife don't want to hear about my jobs. And him and I just started talking more on that personal level. And I was like, I turn customers away because I don't have those other services and I'm focused just on this. So as of October 2023, I'm the visionary of the company and he's more the integrator. I have that high DI in the disc assessment. He has the high SC. We balance each other very well. And what we ended up doing was, let's try it out. Let's work together and not turn anything down. If we got to sub it out, we'll sub it out. And October came, 2023 was awesome. November came, awesome. December, unbelievable, moved into our office. And I wrote on the board, on our vision board, we literally had no name because we were running as two separate companies, just a mess on the books. And randomly, I was like, Constructive Home Solutions. He's like, oh, that's great. Let's run with it. So January 2024, we put that into paper. I mentioned Service Nation to him. Now finances were better and everything. And we ended up joining Service Nation at that point in 2024. So as of January 2024, we became Constructive Home Solutions, full partnership, and joined Service Nation Alliance at that point.
My gosh, what a fantastic story. How great is this? There are so many stories in our industry of two friends going into business together. And then flash forward 5 years later, they hate each other. The relationship is ruined and the business is suffering because these two cannot get along anymore. How do you guys manage all that? Who's in charge?
The one big thing with that, and I thank Tom every day for that. I went down to boot camp for Service Nation with Mark, and Mark's the type of guy, again, that SC, 8, 9 o'clock, he's headed up to bed. Me, I'm ready to hang out. So I said, hey, if you don't ask the question, the worst they're going to say, you'll never know the answer, but the worst someone will say is no. So I said, hey, Tom, I'm big into cigars. I was like, want to go hang out and have a cigar? And he's like, I'd love to. That's the best time conversations come. So Tom and I sat down at the hotel pool and we had a nice cigar and started really talking. We were actually out till like midnight. Chris actually wasn't too happy the next day. He's like, you made Tom late. But we ended up sitting there and just going on and on and on about the business and partnership. And Tom's background was with a partnership. And he was like, I recommend right before you do anything, read the book by Gino Wickman, Rocket Fuel. And I'm not a big reader. I never read my whole life. I always finagled my way through it if I had no interest. So I said, listen, Tom told me this. I'm going to order the book. So that night I ordered two on Amazon. They came in. I picked the book up, sat down in bed that night that I got back home that it was there. And I read the first sentence and I was hooked. And that was on, I believe, a Thursday night. By Sunday, I was done with the book. And everyone in my office jokes. They're like, that's the first book that he ever read and completed. And I was like, actually, you're probably correct. At the time.
If that's the first book you ever read, I got to say, it was a good choice.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the best choices. It actually got me into fully reading, not to go off a topic. So I've read, then we moved on to Traction, and then we moved on to the Profit First. And we're just in those processes. And we kind of do it. He knows that I get bored of reading. So he's like, hey, let's read a chapter. And tomorrow morning on our little kickoff meeting in the morning, let's go over the topics you got out of it. And we go over
a great idea.
We balance each other out with that. And that book was really what set us to the, I'll be honest with you and say, when we went into this, it was a crapshoot and throw the dice. Let's roll with it. I know the services, you know, the remodeling side. Let's take care of the customers. Let's build an empire and we'll go with the flow. And from that point of one, Charlotte, we went to Charlotte's event for Service Nation, then boot camp, then reading that book, the whole business structure just changed. And we said, we want to be something different. We're not about being in the business every day. We're not about being that. We want to grow something so good that everyone wants to come work here. Everybody knows who we are. We're helping the community and the time, but we're also benefiting out of it. But we're the risk takers here. And it really built a strong relationship between Mark and I. One, because we're so different that we balance each other out. He was in the military, so we're half veteran owned. So he went in the military. He knew structure. He knew order. He knows I don't follow structure. He kind of lets me go out of my way a little bit. Then he'll drag me back down to reality. And I appreciate him for that. And then other times he knows he's not going to come up with that next idea, but he can sure shoot it out there and implement it and make it work. So I believe it won't fail at all. I'm a firm believer on that, especially with the leadership team that we put into place. We all work very well together. We all understand each other and really believe in what we have and all our core values, our vision statement, our mission statement. Literally everyone is on board with that. So we all bring each other up. And if someone's out of line, not to say there's never been, I get frustrated easily. We talk about it. That's the biggest thing. Instead of leaving on anyone hot-headed and upset or all mad, let's go next door to the meeting room, dish it out on the conference table, figure out what we did wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'm going to own up to it. If you're wrong, own up to it. But let's figure out a solution and go home and start the day next day on a positive note.
Are you guys 50-50 owners?
Correct. We are 50-50 and it's an escort.
If one of you wants to do one thing and the other doesn't want that to happen, how do you guys resolve that conflict?
So going back to the whole thing of asking a question and finding out if it's either a yes or a no, while having that cigar with Tom, I said, listen, and this is a whole nother topic also, I was never into like coaching or anything, and Mark was. And that was a big thing. He had a coach. It was the wrong coach, had nothing to do with Service Nation. And it was like $60,000 a year for coaching. The guy was not in the industry, and Mark was going off of his coaching stuff. I had my parents, my stepfather and my father to look at. And I was like, oh, they're my mentors. They're my coach. And that's who I look up to. And we kind of bumped on that. So I sat there with Tom and I was like, listen, what I learned in Charlotte was unbelievable. And I understand everyone I talk to talks about premier coaching. I explained that same situation. And he's like, well, they're not in your trade or they're not family. By having that as a partnership, if you had a coach, they could be your icebreaker. They've been there. They've done that already. So you might have some crazy idea. Mark doesn't think it's a crazy idea. Go to a middle person that's been in your shoes already. Ask them to be that icebreaker. And whatever that coach does, follow that coach, and I promise you'll be happy. So I wasn't even involved in premier coaching or anything at the time. So I said, hey, no one knew anything. I was like, hey, question for you. I know you have Service Nation Alliance and you have Premier, and you could, some people do both. Is there anything like where if you do both, I get a discount type of thing? Again, if he said no, I would have signed up anyway. But he was like, but again, ask, why not ask? So he's like, actually, yeah, there is. We're unrolling a new Pinnacle program. So I was like, well, can I be the first Pinnacle member? And he's like, well, you have to ask Jim that. So the next day I walked in, I was like, hey, Jim, I heard about the Pinnacle group and I asked the question, can I be first? And he gave me a big old hug, Jim Henshaw. And 20 minutes later, came in with a little certificate, first Pinnacle member. And I asked them again, I said, who do you recommend I go for coaching? You know that I'm that high DI. You understand where I'm at. I need someone to take my mind and say, oh, you're out of control or you can do it, but do it this way. And they said, the guy might say yes, he might say no, but you got to ask him and interview with him. And that's Lou Habaika. And I said, no problem. Called up Lou. I said, hey, I'm here in Service Nation in Texas. Boom. 20 minutes later, we're on a Zoom call. We have an interview. And he beat me up. He said, your name stinks. He goes, doesn't tell me what you are. Are you interested in changing your company name? And I said, whatever you say, Lou, I'm interested in because you've done it before. So I'm here to listen to you. So he's like, I'll coach you. And we meet every week or every other week sometimes for 2 hours a day. And that's continuing. And that really changed our whole business. He's our middleman to answer your question that you started. If we don't agree on something, we'll go to Lou. And Lou will be like, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a stupid idea. And basically just listen to our coach. And it's honestly changed our whole perspective. We're in the middle of a rebranding with Kick Charge, a different name, which the whole team's excited about. Everybody on our team loves Lou and Service Nation. We're bringing a ton of people to Orlando Service World Expo just so they could see everything.
Oh my gosh, what a great story. Luho Baika is one of the smartest people in our industry. You got a great coach. That guy is amazing. So that's good. And Kick Charge, they do beautiful work. They're a Service Nation partner, I believe. And yep. I've just been so impressed with the work that they've done over time. So I'm looking forward to it. Do you already know what the name of the company is going to be? Can you reveal it here? Or is something?
I'll reveal it. Yeah. So we went through a whole long process. And with the coaching, I was like you said, Lou is awesome in the industry. And I saw what he did and everything. And I was like, honestly, whatever he says, I'm going to do. And the whole thing with that is we went from Mark doing about 700,000 a year and me 750,000 a year. So we were a $1.4 million company as of January 2024. And we're on track right now to close technically our first year of the merger out at 4 million. And wow. 25 employees. And all of that was from Service Nation and Lou Habaika coaching us one-on-one. That is why that happened. And we'll get into why and how that happened. But our new name, we went through a long process. And the one thing was Constructive Home Solutions basically tells you you're a contractor and doesn't connect to the people of who we want to be. So our new name that's going to be launched with our new colors and logo going forward is going to be Mighty Kind Plumbing, HVAC, Electrical, and Remodeling.
Wow. Mighty Kind. Love it.
So we're excited. It shows like we're mighty and it's we're here to help you. We're kind people. We're likable people. We're friendly people. And we're here to help you. And we're going to be mighty kind to you. So we're excited. It's going to be exciting to get all that out there and all our vehicles wrapped and start taking over the branding.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to do a follow-up podcast at some point in the future and hear about all the rollout and where it's gone. But you guys are off to a fantastic start. So what happened between a $1.4 million company to, you said, a $4 million company now? What have you done? That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So the hardest thing for us was when we were separate companies, we wore 11 hats and I was doing payroll. I was doing people-to-people marketing. I was out in a truck. I was managing, and it really took a toll on me with my family, with my wife and daughter not being around as much. Same exact thing with Mark, as our kids are only 2 years apart. And the thing was, we were burnt out, didn't have that help we needed. So when we kind of merged, we started seeing that shift a little bit from 1.4. We were like, oh, we're making more money than we were separate. But when we joined Service Nation, that was the biggest thing. One, our culture, both of us, was terrible. Sucked, straight up. I don't know if I could say that on here, but that's the truth. Our culture was terrible, and we blame ourselves for that. And we had no core values. We had no mission statement. We had no vision of where we're going, and the team wasn't involved. And once Service Nation started pushing that on us, and it was like, well, why do you do this? Who are you? What do you do? Does your team know where you want to go? What do you do with your team outside of work? And it really got us to think. We were on the airplane coming back from boot camp and we were writing down notes. And I was like, honestly, we're the issue here. I was like, we need to come back. And that was March of this year. I said, and really change this up. And I had guys, I moved down here from New York, that one guy in a truck was doing $500,000 a month, but he was like the negative, unfortunately, cancer of the business. He was ruining everything, did not fit into what Mark and I put as what we wanted our business to be. And we changed our core values, gave everybody a 30-day chance to get on the boat or get off. And it walked a couple people out due to the changes that we were making. But we basically said, we're changing our vision, our core value, putting all of you guys into perspective, your families into perspective. I don't want you to be working Saturday, Sunday all night like I had to do. Let's come in Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, get our jobs done. You might have to work late here and there. You might have a service call on the weekend, but I want you to spend time with your families. I want you to make enough money during the week that you don't have to stress about your bills. And you scratch my back, I'm going to scratch yours. We started doing things after work, and to watch the numbers just duplicate. People are lined up, not even joking. We went from four employees total between us And now we have 26 as of today, with three more starting next week. And it just spreads like wildfire. And it was all due to one, joining Service Nation, because we would have never known about the culture and all that stuff. Two, the boot camp of Service Nation. And then three, changing our culture and putting our core value, our vision, and our mission statement out to everybody and getting everybody on that same board.
What a great story. I'm so excited to hear about this. You got me all jazzed up. I can't wait to meet you guys and follow your company. That's great. Hey, you mentioned you're going to Service World and you're taking other people with you. So how many people are you taking with you and why are you bringing more people?
Me and my wife went to Nashville and we learned and took in as much as we can. She shadowed me around. Then Mark and I went to Charlotte and I was like, you want to be in it too. And I want to be in the other one. Let's separate and then we'll compare notes at the end of the day. Yeah. And we still missed classes that we wanted to be in, but we picked the priority which we needed. And then we combined those notes. And when we came back and started sharing these notes with our leadership team, everyone was like so intrigued. They were like, oh my God, I want to be a part of this. So we ended up doing different things where I took a team member to Texas for a CSR training. I took a team member, my general manager, out to a shop tour at Saffer Plumbing and Heating. Went out there and they got to see all that. And I said, let's put on a little friendly competition. And I said, one, our whole leadership's coming. And I said, any sales and techs, if you hit these numbers, we'll bring you two. So right now we're at seven people coming to Service World. And
awesome.
The main reason behind that is I want leadership there so they can, in their line of work, the sales manager could go to sales trainings. The top sales guy could go to a different sales training. Your general manager, service manager, everyone could break apart. And at the end of the day, we can, one, have fun. It gets you on a little vacation that the company pays for and you're paid to be there. So that's one bonus. Two, it gets them to see where we're getting all this information of positive changes. Three, it gets them to meet these people that I talk about. I talk about Lou. I talk about Jason Henderson. I talk about Tom, Jim Hintra, all these people. And they're like, oh, great, this, that, that. And I explain, oh, they're the kings. They do this. So now they'll get to meet them. Four, we get to hit every single breakout session and compare notes. So it's like we didn't miss anything. And then I'm giving everybody one to two things to pull out of each one that they like a lot. And we're going to set up for our next year of 2025 time frame of implementing all the good two things from every breakout that we got.
Great plan. There have been a number of companies that brought a lot of employees like you're doing. But I have to say, most people that attend Service World Expo, it's just the owner, general manager, something like that. But those that bring a lot of employees do better. It's a great thing to do. It gets your team engaged. It gets them focused on what needs to be done. They get industry contacts. They learn so much. You've done the right thing. It's going to pay off big for you. So good for you.
And I told the whole team in the meeting, I said, I'll bring all 26. I'll close down for the 3 days. I said, if you guys,
awesome.
I was like, if you guys hit your goals, I gave everybody goals. I said, you're going to Disney. So I said, look at it that way. So we're keeping track of those KPIs and numbers and stuff and seeing. So I'm hoping at least 10 of us could go down there. It's right now it's at 7, but 10 would be a solid number. And it gets everyone like, wow, they actually did take 10 people. That I want to be there next time.
Yeah, exactly. What a motivation. That's terrific. So looking out into the future, 5 years down the road, what do you want for your company in 5 years?
So that's a big part of our vision statement, and we have it written on our walls, put out there. We have our goal for 2025, which is our 1 year, where we're at 4 million this year, and we have it laid out on how we're going to do it. We have the SOPs, but for 2025, we want to be, and everyone's on board with this number, at $20 million in one office in Knoxville, Tennessee, that we run five zip codes within about 15-mile radius with our services, plumbing, drains, heating, cooling, indoor air quality, electrical, and remodeling. And 75% of that's done in-house. The other 25%, like duct cleaning and remodeling stuff, we do subbing out. 5 years from now, we want to basically run the state of Tennessee, and our revenue base of 50 to 75 million with 5 to 6 offices, with Knoxville being our headquarters. Then we're going to be an hour to Tri-Cities, hour to Gatlinburg, where there's all the cabins, 2 hours to Chattanooga, and about 2.5 hours to Nashville with 100+ employees and about 5 vetted subs that have the same mission and vision statements as us as a company that we can trust and grow in those areas together.
Well, I am looking forward to seeing that happen. I think you guys will do it. I got one follow-up question for you. We started off talking about how you got into the industry, this amazing education that you got. You've got a kid. Your partner's got a kid. They're pretty young. Are they engaged with the business at all?
So I got to say, my daughter, no, not really. She's big into soccer. We travel a lot with a travel soccer team. She sees everything that she gets to get. She has no interest in the construction trades, which I'm not going to push them to do. But sure. The one thing she is on board with that I love is she already has the entrepreneur mindset where she wants to own her own business. She wants to become a veterinarian. All kids want that, but she wants to be a veterinarian, own her own vet office, have like a little area with animals and shelter and stuff for the dogs and stuff. So she has that mindset of that. And she has that leadership skill at 10 years old, turning 11, out on the soccer field as a captain and really pushing people to their limits. So she's going to succeed in whatever she does. If she wants to get involved in the business as she gets older, 100%. Mark and I spoke about that. We have no ambitions or anything for selling the company. I said, why sell it? Take a chunk of change. We're young, 32 and 37. I was like, let's run it till we're 50. Then we could talk about selling it, even stepping back. Now, Mark's son, on the other hand, he's 13 years old, and Cordell is heavily involved and very intelligent, smart kid. He shows up. He wants to wake up. Mark is a early riser, and he's at the office by 5 o'clock in the morning. And one thing with that is he shows up at the office and Cordell wakes up and shows up here with him. Now, some of the things we talk about that come out of our mouths on a construction company, plumbing service, he shouldn't be listening to at 13, but hasn't repeated it. But I'll tell you, he reminds me a lot of myself when I was that age. He absorbs things like a sponge. He's very technical. And he actually this summer worked out in the field. We put him in with some of the guys and learned. He asked questions. He was out there. I told him straight up, you don't want to be out in a truck. Learn what I'm doing. Learn what your dad's doing. Learn what the general manager's doing. That's where you want to be, but you have to learn out in the field. Then he went out there and really put in the work and got paid for it and shows up, like I said. And he's actually homeschooled, so he's trying to talk his mother. Mark's already sold, but he's trying to talk his mother into, let me do like a construction homeschooling and go to work every day. I was like, hey, well, you're 13. Wait till like you're 15 to say that. But he's heavily involved. He wants to be in this as a leadership. So I'm happy to see that. I know it makes Mark happy as well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, the other thing I would say about your daughter, I've seen a number of kids early on and into their young adulthood not want to be involved in the business. And then they come back later on and they do. And it's a good thing. They are, by being raised by you, they're going to learn about the business just by osmosis. It happens. And they can end up being really valuable employees and team members later on. So I've seen a lot of kids just say they don't want to be involved, but then they come back and they do want to be involved. So
yeah,
it could happen.
No, I appreciate it. And I'd love to see her involved. Me and Mark said that. We tell them all the time, like, you guys are the future of the company. I want to be out on my boat and hanging out. Mark wants to be in the woods somewhere. Let the kids run it as long as they follow our systems and stuff. That would be like the most amazing thing, because we see a lot of people selling and stuff. And it's always the team members saying the same thing. Like, well, if you sell, you guys are so personable with it. I was like, listen, I'm 32 years old. If I was to sell at 35, what the heck am I going to do? I said, I'm not going anywhere. I can promise you that. And neither is this company, and it just gets them even more sold. And it would be like the best thing to watch our kids take over and watch from the shadows of seeing what we designed and built turn into something, take over multiple states or something. You never know. So with my mindset, I'm ready to take over the world.
Good for you. Well, this has been such a great conversation. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about this in the future. I'm going to be at Service World Expo, so let's make sure we get a chance to say hi 100. There. And we'll do a follow-up podcast in a couple of years, maybe a year, and see how it's all progressed. I'm expecting great things from you guys. What an exciting future you've got in front of you.
I appreciate it. It's been an honor to be on here. I thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to introducing you to myself, Mark, and hopefully a lot more, like 10, 15 people of our team out at Service World, as well as having our follow-up and going back to this podcast saying, hey, this was our projections. Now look at us. We hit our five-year goal in 3.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. You have a great day, and thank you again for having me on.
Hi, this is David again. 3 quick notes. 1, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. 2, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. 3, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.